Everyone's like, oh, Hurley would never leave UConn. I'm like, fuck it. If I was UK's AD, I'd make him kick him out. I'd make him kick me out of his house before he told me no. Like, I'm over there. I'm like, bro, what you want? Like, I'll get you. I'll bankrupt this state. I'll give you $15 million. Like, $15 million a year, private jet. We'll nuke Tennessee and we'll get you, like, you know, an oceanfront property. Build an ocean right there. Whatever you want.
Build an ocean right in front of Tennessee.
It's gone. Miles Tredd becomes a 38th player in the history of Nittany Lion basketball to go over 1,000 career points.
What's up, everybody? It's Miles Tredd, host of the Heat Check presented by State Media. Super excited to have you guys on the show. We're going to have weekly episodes with former Penn State basketball players and other hoopers across the Big Ten. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We really appreciate you guys' support. Enjoy the show.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high-quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
Welcome to the newest episode of the Heat Check. It's your host again, Miles Tredd, and we're going to do it a little different today. My guest today, Grant Peters, GP is what I like to call him. We both have a podcast under the Mercury Group, and I thought today was really, really important to kind of bring him on and talk about the NCAA tournament and, you know, the future of college basketball and all the different intricacies and the stuff that we see that not everybody else may see. So welcome, Grant, everybody. Thank you so much for hopping on, brother.
Appreciate it, Miles. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah, I was just saying, it's like interesting to be on this side of Riverside because normally I'm on the editing side where like you've recorded a podcast and I'm going through it, timestamping everything. So yeah, it's kind of fun to be on the other side. Someone else is going to be timestamping this. Actually, I'll probably still be editing this.
So like, I want to get right to it, bro. Like you're a Kentucky guy. That's not a secret. It's in your background. Yeah, you know. So, how truthfully, like, how bad did that one hurt? Did the St. Peter's loss hurt more? Did the Oakland loss hurt more? You know, let me know as a Kentucky fan with a Kentucky pod. Let me know.
Yeah, well, as a Kentucky fan, bro, I feel like I've been dead inside ever since I was in Indianapolis watching us lose to Wisconsin when we were 38-0 watching Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker just take us to the shed down the stretch. So, like, nothing will ever compare to that. But, like, you know, the St. Peter's one was just so bad, bro, coming off 9-16. And, you know, just worst season. That was the first losing season in Kentucky history in, I think, 102 years. Maybe I'm off on that. But it was close to that. And, you know, we follow that up. You know, we had a good year. We were a 2 seed. We messed around in the SEC tournament, lost to Tennessee after we beat them by 30 in the regular season, and then lay an egg to St. Peter's. Just like inexcusable when you have Oscar Tshiebwe, and then like followed up next year losing to Kansas State. I mean, I know Marquise Noel like chewed, but like we were up 10 like in the second half of that game. Like we should have won, and we folded. And, you know, this was – I think everybody, like, let those two things slide because they were so focused on this class. I mean, like, ever since, like, DJ Wagner got to high school, we knew he was a lock to Kentucky because of his pops. And, you know, everyone had just focused in on this class. And, like, it honestly turned out better than we thought. We got, you know, Zonimir Ivjasic to join the team, like, mid-year when we weren't even expecting that. And we folded again. And I just think everybody in Kentucky just – Cal used to have defenders, like, and I don't know if they've, like, turned against them, but they're not defending them anymore, if that makes sense. They're not outspoken. And so it's just, like, nobody really has faith. Like, this is the thing that sucks is, like, it's not, like, no one's going to turn on the kids. Like, no one's going to turn on the kids. Like, I loved watching them play this year. They were electric. Reed and Rob were electric. Big Z's debut was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, a 7-3 dude coming out and going 4-for-4 from three. To start his career, I mean, it was unreal. And, you know, it's a fun team to watch. But, like, now the regular season next year, now that we're bringing Cal back, it's just absolutely – I'm not going to say it's not going to matter, but in the back of everyone's mind is going to be like, it doesn't matter what we're doing right now. Like, what are we going to do in March? Like, everyone just wants to fast forward now to March next year to see what we're going to do. And I don't know. I used to be the biggest, you know, Cal defender. I'm not really a Cal defender anymore just because, like, he doesn't deserve it, like, at this point. Like, the past 4 years have been abysmal. Kentucky has the most NCAA tournament appearances of all time, and we had never lost in the first round. And we've done that twice in the past 3 years. That's just pathetic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at. I've lost faith. I'll always support the kids. Like, I'll always go to the games, and, you know, I want us to win. I'm not someone – There's a good amount of fans out there that want us to lose so they can be right about Cal.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those people, but, like, I just have no faith in us anymore. Like, and, yeah.
So, I think – I don't necessarily want to say, like, I had Kentucky losing in the first round, right? But I think Kentucky this year, it was a different feeling in terms of – their potential to win a national championship due to the talent that they had. Like, they had an abundance of talent, right?
Dogs.
But they didn't have Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox. Like, they didn't have any of those guys. Like, those guys started on NBA teams the following year, right? Yeah. Like, they didn't have any guy that you can say, like, they might, but it's not like – they're guaranteed they're a bona fide starter in the Western Conference next year, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say that they're underachieving in terms of talent and recruiting and all that stuff. I think it's more – they don't defend the same way that those guys do. They used to have dogs on the defensive end that legitimately would turn you over, over and over and over and over. And they also had dudes on the offensive end that if you didn't guard, they would put up 110 on your head.
Bro, when we talk about, like, dogs that, like, are defenders out of college, like, or out of high school like that, I always think of MKG, bro. Like, MKG on the defensive end was nuts. I mean, like, obviously he gets, like, overlooked because AD was on that team and he was the number two pick in the draft, but, like, in his pro career didn't amount to, like, what he was expected to do. Right. I think that has more to do. The game really changed. Like, his style kind of went out the window because he wasn't really a shooter. He was a defending slasher. Right. And so, like, you know, that he only had, like, 2 or 3 years before the league really shifted. But, like, man, like, what made that 2012 team with AD and them so tough, it wasn't just that we have AD in the paint and, like, honestly, he could, like, if you're on the wing, he could probably block you from the block, like, if he wanted to. But, like, what we did was we put MKG on every team's point guard. Like, that's how we guarded, and we were able to do it. Like, in the Final Four, he was guarding Peyton Siva against Louisville, and then he was guarding, was it Tyrod Taylor? Was that was Kansas's Kansas, point guard?
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I don't know, and we've talked about this, bro. Like, I just say that I don't even think it's entirely Cal's fault. I think, like, you know, the AAU and developed – United States, like, development system has, like turned against him because, like, kids out of high school aren't as good as they used to be. Like, we've talked about that. Like, they're just not where they used to be. AAU basketball is just, like, such a joke these days. It's just, like, who can get, like, the most views on an overtime clip? Like, we talked about it. Like, back in the day, like, if you had a hoop mixtape, you were legit. If you had a ball of blood,
you were
the guy. Like, it's like... Nowadays, like, kids at my high school, a tiny private school in Lexington, like, bro, they have, like, I see the mixtapes they have. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, where was that when I was in high school? Like, none of us had that. Like, bro, they got photographers and everything at their game. Like, making them look like they're on Ball Is Life and stuff. And so it's just, like, everybody's going for clicks. Like, that's all it is. And, like, there's that really famous Gino Auriemma clip where he's in an interview and he's just talking about – we posted on the Heat Check Instagram. Yeah. And, like, you know, he's talking about how, like, kids in Europe practice 6 days a week and then, like, play maybe 2 games a week. Whereas now it's, like, AAU kids, like, low-key don't even practice. They just show up to the tournament and they just hoop 6 games and that's it. And it's, like – I don't know. I just think – I'm not going to blame social media entirely, because like we had social media back then, but it's just like the value system is, and there's also just so many people like in grassroots basketball that shouldn't be there, like that don't know the game, that are just like, you know, I mean, like a bunch of them are just leeches. They're looking for a dude that's got like raw talent and they're hoping he makes it to the league and they get a kickback once he does.
Right.
And like, you know, they're like, we'll put him up, we'll do this, whatever. And the guys that were like, you know, actually like you talk about like in like, you know, 80s and 90s when like there was like when Five Star was like Five Star basketball camp. And when like, you know, there was, what was it? ABCD, yeah. The Nike ABCD camp.
Yeah.
They had that stuff. And like, there's just not that shit anymore. There's not the guys like, you know, I just read a book where like, it was actually Sonny Vaccaro's book. And like, you know, Rick Pitino, Billy Donovan, all these guys were at these camps, like teaching these kids, like these 15, 16 year olds. And like, there's nobody doing that in grassroots basketball anymore. Like these great basketball minds aren't there. And it's, I don't know, the game has definitely changed because of it. But like me being a Kentucky fan where we rely solely on one and done, I can tell you there's a huge difference between having the number one recruiting class in 2023 and having the number one recruiting class in 2011. Like it's night and day difference. It's not even close. Like, yeah, DJ Wagner might be the number one combo guard in the country. He has a higher scout grade on ESPN than Marcus Teague. Marcus Teague would bust his fucking ass in college. Like, not even close. And it's just like...
And it's not a knock on DJ. It's really not a knock on DJ.
It's not.
It's really how good Marcus Teague was.
He was a dog, bro. People forget about that. Yeah. Out of high school, he was such a dog. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's tough. I feel like that's something that's out of Cal's control. Like he can't control like the EYBL. He can't control Adidas Nations, if that's still a thing. Like, and he relies on it. And that's why I'm just like, I don't know how long we can like just continue on this like, you know, hamster wheel, like of doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So I don't know.
Question for you. Do you believe that, I think in the last couple of years it's kind of been proven true, do you think that the era of relying on one-and-dones and freshmen to go win league championships, national championships, do you think that era is kind of gone with the wind?
I wouldn't say it's completely gone with the wind, because there might just be a class that's absolutely loaded that has raw talent. I haven't seen it. Like, everyone talks about the 2025 class with AJ, how do you say his last name? You know what I'm talking about? Dib Johnson.
Oh, the kid from
I think he's from Jersey or Boston. Because he said that like T. Clark's like his big brother. That's why everyone thinks he'd come to Kentucky, because he wants to honor T. Clark. But
yeah.
Everyone talks about that class being good, but I mean, like, at this point, like, to, like, just straight up answer your question, I guess, like, yes, because I don't, like, if you just go evidence-based, I don't see how you could argue it any other way. I mean, like, you look at the teams that are winning it.
Yeah.
Most of them are built in the portal. I mean, UConn's an absolute wagon right now. And, like, their starting backcourt are literally, they were zero-star recruits. The Tristan Newton and, what's the white dude's name?
Cam Spencer.
Yeah,
Cam Spencer.
They were zero-star recruits. And so it's just like, I don't know. I don't see how you could argue it any other way at this point. Now, and maybe something comes up. But until then, yeah. I mean, look at the teams that are in the Elite Eight. I mean, how many of them are relying on, I guess, Duke, but we were just talking about it. They shouldn't be there.
We and Grant talked a little bit before this. We are in absolute agreement. Jeremy Roach, if you do see this, you're my guy. You know I love you. We truthfully believe that if Jamal Shedd didn't get hurt, it would have been a long night.
Belt
again,
ass.
Love Jeremy Roach. No knock on you. You played your ass off in the second half. Again, you are my guy. You will forever be my guy. But we keep it 100 here, so I'm just telling the truth.
Yeah, I forget that you're boys with a lot of these guys. I got to chill, but yeah. Like, bro, I mean, like, just I told Miles this. I said this, like, before the game, someone asked, we were all, like, placing bets or whatever, and they were like, one of my friends that doesn't really pay attention to basketball was like, could Duke win? And I was like, the only way they could possibly win if Jamal Shedd got hurt and, like, didn't play. And then, like, I don't know, was it, like, 5 minutes into the first half? He's a dog, bro. Like, that's the type of point guard.
I didn't watch the first half of that game. So, like, I was busy. So, I'm kind of trying to check the score a little bit on the ESPN app. But it doesn't show me the – I'm not literally watching the game. So, I'm like, why is Jamal Shedd not playing well? Or, like, yeah. And then I look, he got hurt. I'm like, you kidding me? Because I had two brackets. I had Houston winning one, and then my sleeper pick, I had Illinois winning the other one. So, I was like, Houston, this is my ticket right here. And
yeah.
Hey, look, I got a ride for the Big Ten, right?
Yeah. No, Illinois is looking good, bro. I don't know. They, UConn, I think UConn is going to run it back. They are so good, bro.
Yeah, if I had to redo a bracket now, the way that UConn is beating people, they're not keeping it close. They're beating people by 30 points.
Bro, they're like – this is why Hurley's such a good coach, bro. They're up 30 and playing like they're down 3. Like, how hard they play. That's why everyone's like, oh, Hurley would never leave UConn. I'm like, fuck it. If I was UK's AD, I'd make him kick him out. I'd make him kick me out of his house before he told me no. Like, I'm over there. I'm like, bro, what you want? Like, I'll bankrupt this state. I'll give you $15 million. Like, $15 million a year, private jet. We'll nuke Tennessee and we'll get you, like, you know, an oceanfront property, build an ocean right there, whatever you want.
Build an ocean right in front of Tennessee.
Yeah. But it was like, bro, just the way – how hard they play. I think that's why, like, Kentucky fans, like, want a guy like Hurley is because his energy is, like, you could – it's reflected in the way his teams play. Like, the energy he brings as a coach, you see that in his guys. And, like, we just – we haven't really had that. We had that at the beginning of the Cal era. That's the thing, bro. When we were like the mob, like when Cal was the godfather, the Don, like, bro. I never missed a Kentucky home game, right? Think about this. Cal got hired in April of 2009. I didn't see a loss at Rupp Arena until November of 2012. That was his run. His first 6 years, 4 Final Fours. We set the record for most wins in a season twice. We went 38-2 and 38-1, went 35-3 in another. And then the other years that we didn't do 38-35, we made a national title game. We made a Final Four. And then we – like, you could see – Cal's energy was reflected then. Like, the dudes we were rolling in with, you know, Drake was coming to Big Blue Madness, writing songs about us. We were on top of the world. And, like, now if you think Cal is, like, old and tired and, like, you know, just lost every edge he has, I feel like that's kind of reflected in our team too. So, like, we just – people want a guy like Hurley or they want a guy like – I mean, shit, everybody's here. Like, not, like, everybody, but all the old heads, they want to bring Pitino back. Like, they love Rick, bro. They love him. And he would take that job in a second, too. Our AD would never do it. But I mean, like, it's to have a guy like Hurley come here would be awesome. But, like, yeah, they're going to – unless something crazy happens, like, I don't know. I don't see how they don't run it back. My nightmare scenario is seeing Duke, Tennessee, and Alabama in the Final Four. That would be horrendous, bro. I just need not that. I'm cool with UConn running it back as long as it prevents any of them from winning it, especially Tennessee and Duke.
If UConn wins this year, does that make them a blue blood?
I'm still saying no because, like, I feel like this is going to sound weird, but, like, I feel like it's true. For to be a blue blood, I feel like you have to have, like, decades of dominance that stretches back to, like, when the NCAA tournament first started. So, like, okay. That's like my only thing. Now, fuck, if they So if they get fixed, they'll be ahead of Duke.
That's what I'm saying.
They'll be tied with UNC. Yeah, fuck it, they're a blue bug.
Hey, like that's, you know what I mean? Like that's a lot of national championships, bro, in a very short time span.
Since 99. That was their first one.
Yeah.
And they have two of them over us. That's ridiculous. What do you think about Purdue? That was always your matchup.
They look good too. They look really good. And I'm proud because I'm a huge, like I played for Coach Shrewsbury. And I always have had a great respect for Matt Painter and what he's done. And the guys, like they're not, you know, you play against guys sometimes and, you know, they talk too much or they're arrogant, but they're, I mean, those guys are just great dudes, man. And I always wish them nothing but. Oh, Edie's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, Zach, like, because he knows, like, because I had to guard Zach.
Yeah.
Pretty much the last four or five times we played him. And he knows that I'm down there fighting for my life, but he's not like, you know, doing too much, trying to, you know, hurt me because he can. But, I mean, he's just physically dominant. And, you know, we laughed and joked during the game. Like, we were competitive still, but it was, like, lighthearted, you know? Like, I might hit a three. I'd be like, ah, I got you that time. Or, you know, he'll score on me and be like, come on, man, you know you can't guard me down there. Like, little stuff like that. But it was never nothing malicious at all.
Yeah, he's got such a bad nasty.
I want them to do well. I want them to go beat Tennessee for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to play in a national championship game. I think as much as Kentucky has gotten the scrutiny in the last few years, they've gotten, like, the worst of it. Like, they've gotten the brunt of a lot of stuff. So I think them being able to kind of come back from that and go win a national championship, I think that will be – It would really warm my heart because I think those guys deserve it, truthfully.
Yeah. I mean, they – I was hyped, you know, a few years ago when Purdue played Tennessee. That was when – I guess up until this year, I guess, Tennessee thought it was their best team ever with, like, you know, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone, like those dudes. Our Kentucky team hated that Kentucky – or that Tennessee team. Yeah. But, like, seeing Carson Edwards, bro, just go nuclear against them and knock them out. And what was 55, the short white guard? He wore a baggy T-shirt, but he could spray.
Sasha Stefanovic.
Yes, bro. He went off on them. So, like, I'm hoping Zach Edey just goes off. I hate Tennessee, bro. Like genuinely, like, I see them. And, like, I'll tell this story. This is actually kind of funny. So, like, when they played at Rupp last year, we beat them. But so, like, the way that my family does our seats at Rupp, like, we have two and two. And so, like, my dad and his fiance will switch with me and my brother at half. We'll switch halves because, like, some of the seats are, like, better than the others. And so me and my brother are walking down to to switch our seats. And I walk right past, like, the Tennessee bench. And I've had a couple drinks. We're beating their ass. We're up 20. They're, like, the number four team in the country or whatever. And so, like, there's these two walk-ons at the end of the bench, bro. And I literally just stick my head in between them. Like, while they're, like, chilling, I was like, man, y'all fucking suck. Bro, I heard, like, them, like, trying to get security to, like, throw me out or whatever. But, like, I hate Tennessee, like, so genuinely so much. It, like, you know, I'm not the biggest Purdue fan, but watching Zach Edey go for 30 and 20 on them would make my night. Like, it would make my Easter.
So, like, to be clear, it wasn't from a disrespect point of the players in general. It was more like, no. I'm a Kentucky fan. I just don't like Tennessee. Similar to how Penn State fans just don't like Pitt. Like, no matter what it is, every Penn Stater has a school that they're just not fond of, whether – and they're usually in the general same vicinity, right? So, like, us, you got people that don't like Pitt versus don't like Rutgers versus don't like Maryland. And then you guys, I'm sure you guys probably have people that don't like Georgia versus don't like Tennessee or don't like Louisville. like, you know, like you guys, people have.
Touchdown.
Actually, I think they just made a great hire. Speaking of Louisville, they just made a great hire.
Yeah. The guy seems to have a lot of energy. He seems to have a lot of energy. He was at Cincinnati at one point, wasn't he? Oh, no.
I don't know.
No, I'm getting him confused with someone. Yeah. I think I saw his press conference, his interview, his, like, I don't know. It just keeps popping up on my Twitter feed for some reason. But, I'm all for the rivalry coming back. Recently, it's been like we just wax him by 30, and it's like, get off the court. But, yeah. Like, Kentucky and Louisville at its peak is, like, it's clearly, like, right behind North Carolina and Duke is, like, the best rivalry in college basketball. It just hasn't been recently because they haven't been competitive, like, ever.
I don't know. I got to think. Let's talk about that. Who are the best rivalries in college
biggest
basketball?
Robbery?
Give me your top five. Top five best top college five. Basketball rivalries in college basketball history.
Duke UNC, Kentucky Louisville. Xavier Cincinnati. I don't want to put Kentucky in here too much, but I feel like we have another one. We just haven't played the game in a while. I'm going to say it. Kentucky, Indiana. Because I think as a state, like, growing up, I think there's not two states. We're not as good, like, collectively, like, you know, talent-wise. But I think there's not two states that love basketball more than Kentucky and Indiana. See, like, I'm thinking of, like, 10 years ago, I would have said UConn-Syracuse. I would have put that up there. Just because, like, I think about all the, like, Big East battles they had.
So, for my five, first and foremost, I'd probably go Duke-UNC. Then I'm going to have to put Indiana-Purdue on there. That's, from what I've seen, that's, like, a very spitfire kind of relationship, those two, for sure.
You think Indiana fans would say that Purdue's their biggest rival?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so. I think they would all say Kentucky.
I disagree. That in-state rivalry is playing in the Big Ten and seeing, like, how much, like, they really hate each other. they dislike Purdue, right? But, and I think technically Purdue has more wins in the matchup, but technically, Indiana has had more success on a national scale than Purdue has all time. So, like, that's kind of their back and forth.
I don't know. We'll have to ask. We'll gauge the Indiana fans. I put my money up that they hate Kentucky more than they hate Purdue.
We'll ask them.
Just based off my experience.
So, those are my first two. Then I would say Georgetown, Syracuse, then Louisville, Kentucky.
College basketball needs Georgetown to be good again.
Louisville. I think Ed Cooley can do it, of all people. I think the DMV is a basketball hotbed.
They got in his head, bro.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah.
They got in his head when he was there, bro. When Devin Carter punched that windmill at the end of the game, I was like, damn.
And then I think Xavier Cincinnati, even though, you know, neither team, they're not in the same league. And that's just a crosstown rivalry. That's like, I think truthfully, ever since the Kenyon Martin era with Bob Huggins and all, like when that fight happened, even though it may have been a rivalry before that, after that, it's just been like, Let's do it. It's like a rock fight every time.
The most
play.
Iconic fight in college basketball history.
I agree.
Like, for sure. I remember everybody was tuned in to, like, I don't even know if the game was, like, nationally televised. I think it was on, like, a Fox Sports Ohio, like, broadcast. But everybody was tuned in to SportsCenter after. And they're like, yeah, Xavier Cincinnati got in a brawl. What was the big white dude's name that walked off for Xavier? Bloody as hell. Like, he had blood dripping down his face.
Yeah, I don't remember names. That was such a long time ago. But like every year, I see it on my feed. On this day, so and so years ago, boom, Xavier Cincinnati,
bro,
throwing punches and fight. Like, dude, like, I don't even think we see that level of intensity to the point where people would even want to fight like that anymore.
Pure hatred. I mean, what do you think about Kansas State?
You know, that was up there, but...
Well, actually, hold up. Before we get into this, all Kansas fans actually will tell you their bigger rival is Missouri, which I didn't know that until, like, I was talking with Mitch and Tehan, and then they say it's Missouri because, like, apparently, like they actually, like, those states had a war. Kansas and Missouri actually had a war, like, way, like... back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And so, like, that, they say literally the basketball rivalry stems from that.
I mean, I guess the reason I don't say it's a rivalry is because Kansas is just so much better all time than Missouri and Kansas State. And then, of course, they might reach up and grab. Like, I don't know how many times Missouri has ever beaten Kansas or Kansas State. I'm sure at some point in time has beaten, you know, Kansas a few times, but I don't think it's relatively close. Like, some of these other matchups that we're talking about, like, none of those matchups are really blowouts. Like, they're pretty competitive for the most part.
Honestly, like, a rivalry I missed that was good. Honestly, it might be back. I think Todd Golden's pretty good, but Kentucky-Florida back in the day used to be a great rivalry. When they had Billy D.
Yeah.
Because that at the time,
I just don't think Florida's gotten back to that level.
No, they haven't. But I, that's why I said Todd Golden might get them there. It's just like that was at a time when literally like the SEC. Now the SEC is so deep, bro. But like back then, it was really just Kentucky and Florida, and like everybody else was like they didn't invest in basketball. Now you look at the SEC with the coaches they've got, bro. It's crazy. Rick Barnes at Tennessee, Bruce Pearl.
Is the SEC the best conference?
Who's got what conference has the most team? Right now, I'd say, yeah. I think we're by far the deepest.
I think. I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
What, are you going to say Big Ten?
I think the SEC's bottom is not as good as the Big Ten's bottom.
Who's the Big Ten's bottom?
This past year, it was Michigan, Ohio State. No, it wasn't Ohio State. It was Michigan. Penn State was down there. Rutgers and somebody else. I forgot.
I feel like
Michigan's had bad years before, but like they were down. Like that was. That might have been one of the worst Michigan basketball outcomes. I'm not going to say teams because they had a lot of talent, but that might have been the worst outcome in the Big Ten Michigan might have ever had.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know if it's all in Juwan either, bro. Michigan's has not helped him at all. This Michigan team was supposed to have this Michigan team was supposed to have Terrence Shannon and Caleb Love. Like, bro, and Michigan's just screwed them. I mean, I know Michigan's a tough school to get into. It's probably, like, I think Michigan is probably, like, genuinely, like, besides, is one of the toughest, like, non-Ivy League schools to get into in the entire country. It's a great school. It's a great school. So, like, but, like, you know, it's basketball. Like, you make it, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, figure it out.
Yeah. Derrick Rose stuff.
I think truth, like, and I, you know, if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. But if they had those two dudes this past season, I think we're having a bunch of different conversations about one, what league was the best league, two, who's playing for a national championship right now. Because those two dudes alone can change the how good a program is.
Dickinson probably would have stayed too.
So they have Terrence Shannon, Caleb Love, and Big Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That people that, you know, obviously people are going to say, oh, well, you know, you can't really say that and you don't know how they would have meshed. I'm like, well, I know basketball better than most. And yeah. I don't care what most people have to say. With that level of talent combined with that level of experience, that would have been very, very difficult to get me.
Like, all of them are old.
Yep.
They've been in college for so long. Like, was Terrence Shannon on the Tech team that went to the national title? 2019? Was he on that team?
I don't think so.
Because Kentucky played him the next year in Lubbock.
I think he graduated high school in 2019.
But still, like, you know, he comes in, like, you think about, like, Caleb Love was point guard on a team that went to the national title game. Terrence came in as a freshman to a team that was fresh off a national title. So, like, he knows, like, what's up. And, like, they're all still in college. Yeah, that team would have been tough.
Yeah, bro. It would have been ridiculous.
I feel for Michigan, bro. It sucks. They've been to what? I think Michigan has been to, like, 8 national title games. And I think they're 1-7 in those natties. I'll have to check that. Yeah. But I think they have the most losses in a national championship. In the national championship. Their record's abysmal. I know that. I would be sick to see that many runner-up banners.
Like, it'll get to the point where you don't even want to hang them up no more. You're like, you know what? Never mind. We're good.
No. Just find the Fab Five banners from the archives, hang those, and then take everything else down.
Top 5 greatest college basketball team that never won a national championship. Fab Five, their senior year.
For sure. Chris Webber messing up. If we're putting number one on that list, I'm still taking 2015 Kentucky. 38-0.
I'm not mad at that at all. Man, that team was ridiculous, bro. The fact that they didn't win that's probably the biggest disappointment in college basketball history. They were undefeated and should have won. And lost to Frank Kaminsky and Sam Dak.
And Nigel Hayes. Bronson Koenig. God, I hated that team. I hate that I know, like, every single one of them. Bro, you want to know why I think we live in a matrix? Think about this. So, the last two college – well, until Gonzaga did during the COVID year, but I'm not really counting that. Until the last two teams before then to go undefeated all the way to the Final Four, Kentucky in 2015 and UNLV in 92, right? The last time there was a Final Four rematch, Duke versus UNLV 91 and 92, Kentucky versus Wisconsin 2014-2015. That was the last Final Four rematches. UNLV beat Duke in 91, and then in 92 came back undefeated and lost to them. Kentucky beat Wisconsin in 2014, come back undefeated, lose to them in the Final Four in 2015. That's just too many parallels, bro. That's insane.
Wow. I knew that, but I never put that together. That's actually crazy when you sit down and think about it.
Like, bro. And I had that in the back of my mind on the way up to Indy that game.
GP. Yeah, GP, I know you got to run, bro. Thank you so much for hopping on, man. This was awesome. You know, we definitely got to do this more. Bring me on the Big Blue Pie. I'm ready. I could talk Penn State all day. We can.
I still don't have here's the thing, bro. I don't have a UK podcast.
You need one. What are you doing?
I don't have one with Mark. We got to talk to the big man.
We got to talk to the guys upstairs, man. We got to get them on. Hey, listen.
We got to.
Guys upstairs, you know who you are. I'm knocking on the door. Get my man GP on, bro.
I mean, you feel.
Look at that. Like, I don't even – I love Penn State, and I played at Penn State. I have more Penn State gear than anybody. I don't have a setup like that. GP, thanks for hopping on, bro. I appreciate you. We definitely got to do this again sometime. we might have to recap on this national championship and really break down this NCAA tournament.
Yeah, for sure, brother.
This is the latest episode of the Heat Check. See you guys next week. Peace. What's up, everybody? Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Heat Check. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe so we can continue to have big-time guests and create great content for you guys. And if you haven't yet, check us out on social media in the links below. Really appreciate you guys' support. We'll see you next week.